Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence, and we know now that you're here, those things which were not possible previously are possible, that the fact that you have descended from heaven and down here upon earth, vindicated yourself, manifested yourself, proven absolutely to us, the irrevocability of your presence is irrefutable. We know, Lord, that those things can transpire now, that the dead can come out of the earth, a resurrection, Lord. There can be people changed, perhaps not too many, but there would be some change, as in the days of Noah. They were kept, and so today they'll be kept immortal. And all those remaining then here will be caught up with those who come forth out of the graves. And we thank you, Lord, that that is not just something that is in the Scripture as being stated there, but it is something from the Scripture that has now taken the form of life and is in our midst at this very hour. For you are here, Lord, to raise the dead and then to take a bride away for the great reincarnation. And we know this is true, Lord. It has been manifested to us. And we know that there is no turning back, that we have cast the die. And we are not helpless, Lord, except within ourselves, which is very good. All our help comes from you now, Lord, and we are stayed upon thee because there is nothing left. All things have been shaken down, and that which remaineth can remain, and that is you, Lord, and your great word that you have given us. So now, all of us coming together, we know that this is the end time, and we appreciate it. We do not try to look forward, neither look back. We just look now at this great presence, you're here, and you will take us through. We give you glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Now, before we get into a little sketching here, because this is the first tape going out since Brother Hall was here, I just want to say this for those people, and perhaps some of you here too, concerning Brother Hall's message, especially the one that he preached on Easter morning. And this message of his, whether you caught it or not, to me, in my thinking, is a tremendous exposition wherein Brother Branham taught that the greatest revelation under the seventh seal is that there is one God, and you must be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Brother Hall did not treat the second portion, which we know is absolutely true, but the first portion he did treat very beautifully. And in there you found that that revelation was absolutely necessary to salvation, necessary to the baptism with the Holy Ghost, necessary to the catching away. And so you remember that as you hear that, some of you hearing it again, others for the first time, it'll be a tremendous benefit to you, as all of his messages are. Also, I just recently ran across the last few weeks an article, a scientific article, that backs up very distinctly what Brother Branham taught us concerning marriage and actually then intercourse, which is a part of it. He said when a man takes a woman to his bosom, she will make an imprint upon him and he makes an imprint upon her. For some reason, scientists who followed this subject were of the opinion that it was the pineal gland that did that, which is called male and female bonding in marriage through sexual intercourse. But now it is scientifically discovered it's a hypothalamus gland. So these things that Brother Branham taught and have been teaching you concerning circuitry and impression is not something that's not scientific. It is scientific. And therein you'll find that what people are doing in the realm of these licentious acts being committed even by those in the highest authority and being not only received by the public but assimilated, becoming a part of their lives, so that actually America and the whole world has only one thought in mind. Their God is their belly and their glory is their shame. And this is from the president on down. I don't hesitate to say that because this is the truth. Our country is fully corrupt. And if you think they're going to cure the IRS situation, please let me disabuse you. Forget it. You think they're going to change the way they bring the money in, the soft money and the hard money? Forget it. If you think Trent Law is a gentleman, a scholar, forget it. If you think Gingrich is up there anything more for show and bluster and politics, forget it. It's all over. Brother Branham said no politician can make a correct decision, so forget it. So they're going to make decisions and everyone is going to be worse. They've already said it's going to take a long time to get rid of the abuses in the IRS. When men of caliber like Howard Baker are framed. And other men have their office invaded by a bunch of revenuers, collecting revenue that is, with guns. Isn't going to change except for the worse. So lift up, your redemption draweth nigh. Is it going to be that God's going to, as the old song said, He does not compel you to go against your will. He just makes you willing to go. The time the Lord sent the hornets in the land, He did not compel them to go against their will. He just made them willing to go. I got a hunch that's exactly right. So we see these things. We talk about them. Bring them up when I find things that I know we've talked about based upon Brother Branham's pertinent message of the hour. He never said anything just for the sake of saying it. He told you that in the sermon. Many people just talk for the sake of talking. They're called windbags. Sometimes it's a little interesting. Most of the time it's not. All right. Before we get into answering questions again, because some questions are actually a little bit to do with what we will be, I think maybe bringing out later on and all, and talking about more, but I want to just go into our relationship to God, which Brother Hall touched on a bit, bringing the fact that fullness of God, the Godhead bodily, and God in manifestation, came right down into the church, into the bride, which, of course, Brother Branham simplified so that the whole bride was taken in. Because each one has his own particular office and particular place in that body. And if that body is a manifestation of Christ, which is the body of Christ, then every single member is in his position a manifestation. And so Brother Branham said, if the hand does it, the body does it. That's why that's in complete accordance with Paul's doctrine, who said when one member suffers, all suffer, or one rejoice, all rejoice. And then, of course, all members are there for one particular reason, to give glory and honor unto the Lamb. And, of course, as Brother Hall brought out, you can't give glory and honor to God except through the Lamb. Jesus himself said that no man can come to the Father except by me. And he said, you'll ask anything in my name and I'll do it. And also Jesus Christ is intercessor. And so if you can't get the Father and the intercessor right, you haven't got a prayer. And yes, one reason he preached that one reason when he preached that sermon, I was so taken by it because I saw the clarity of it. And that clarity goes all the way through the Scripture, because you cannot worship God outside the Scripture, because everything by God is predisposed. Predisposition is pre-knowledge, is based in omniscience. So we're going to talk a little bit about God. Now, I wish I were kind of like a magician, or I had a film made up by these people with computers and artists, and we could really be very dramatic here. If someone could do the work. So I start out up here, and we start up, and I wish there was a way that I could absolutely obscure this so you couldn't see it. What I might have done was hang a handkerchief over and had it drawn there and say, you see nothing, and now you suddenly see it. Well, I could do something like that in this particular respect. Say, let's see now. Here, we see nothing. And suddenly now we take this down, and we see God, yet we cannot actually see God. But now, we're just taking that card down is to simply let you know that He is there. Now, this God, actually, because God is in three, He has in three major attributes, which is, of course, is omniscience, omniscience, that means all-knowing, and omnipotent, which is all-powerful, omnipotent, you know, means powerful, omnipotent. And people don't realize that there is a third, and the third is not omnipresence, because God is not everywhere. That's the most ridiculous thing in the world, because that is pantheism. If God is ever in everything, then I breathe in God, I breathe out God. Well, if I breathe Him in, I'm going to quit breathing. I want to get Him out. That's right. I wave my arms, wave through God. And this is in the world. And if you think that's stupid, you ought to wait and hear some of the things that some people know better than me. So, all right, the big thing then is love. One of the big. So there we have it. We have God in three. And we're going to talk about this a little later on, I trust, to give you a real eye-opener from Scripture. They're showing your Brother Branham never missed a trick. Everything is based upon the Apostle Paul. So, all right, now, this great one here who has these three great attributes, and Brother Branham said, and you will not find this in Scripture, but it is fine by me because it does come from Scripture in the essentiality that it lies in Scripture. There is a thought, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. All right, Brother Branham said, in Him was to be Father. Okay? In Him was to be Son. And in Him was to be the Holy Spirit. And, of course, you'll notice in there that what we have in that particular nine, He Himself is God, who is Holy Spirit. And now, bringing forth the Son, and you understand that at that particular time, we're right back here, there is nothing. Nothing at all that you can see. But believe me, there is certainly plenty. Now, this one who is omniscient, omnipotent, and essentially love, in Him was to be Father and Son and Holy Spirit, Brother Branham put it. And of course, in Him to be Father, He couldn't be until suddenly, now you can't see that, but in here there is a light form. And that is the Son. Okay, now, if you had spiritual eyes, you could see this light, which is the Son. And at this time, God gives birth to this Son, because begetting actually means to conceive and bring forth. And to give birth means to issue forth. So then if Jesus is born, and He was, and He had this pre-existence, then He issued forth from God. Now, at the same time, we understand here that God began to move through the Son. And as He moves through the Son, you can understand that that is the Holy Spirit, God Himself, moving down. And then actually, after death and resurrection of Christ, the same Spirit moving down. So that's how we have here Father, God in fatherhood, in sonship, and in Holy Spirit, because He's moving on people. And when He's moving on people, that's a part of His own life doing it. That's the life of the Holy Spirit. And you'll find in Romans that He's called the Son of God according to the power of the resurrection. And Brother Branham did bring out the fact He is called Son of God. And that actually then, for according to the resurrection, that can be the Holy Spirit. And he defined it as the Holy Spirit. So when you talk then about the Son of God being here at this particular time, proved according to the resurrection, see? And remember, only a very few people saw Him. What happened at Pentecost and later proved the resurrection. And Paul actually saw the pillar of fire blinded him, and he was given a revelation. So all right now, you have the Son of God moving in the form of the Holy Spirit. Now, as we look at all of this, we want to realize that there's not only Father, Son, and Holy Spirit here, but there's also the revelation that we have, and that is we have here now, we're going to just use J, and we call it Jehovah Jireh. And of course, you know, that is the great provider. Brother Brown put the whole series on that. And then, of course, we have Jehovah Rapha, and that, of course, is the healer. And then we have Jehovah Raha, and I guess it is, and that is the shepherd in here. That's three of them. And then, of course, we have Jehovah Nissi, or what do you want to call that? And that is our banner, or our peace, or our great protector. Because after all, the greatest desire in human life is protection. If you can't be protected, then you are upset, and you've got a problem. And unless you know that God is protecting you, so that you cannot ever be lost or ever hurt or anything, so that you're, you know, you're incapable of ever meeting the goal or the ends or dying, like being blotted out. You don't have to have any fear, because God is your banner, He's your peace, and He's everything else there. And so on top of Jehovah, then there's Jehovah Shalom, and everybody says Shalom now, and that's our peace there. And you notice how these are beautifully connected, right in there together. And then we got is Jehovah our righteousness, and notice it's called our righteousness. And that's a very beautiful thought, because in here you don't find this our provider, although that is spoken of. But this one is very, very outstanding in its appellation. That's Tzidkenu. And then over you have another one down here, and it's Jehovah Shamar, which is a matter of ever present. And there's one more that nobody, that not Schofield and Brother Branham or anybody else put in there, and I didn't look up the name, but it is Sanctifier. And you know that's why with number 8 is a sanctifier, everybody left out, but it's in the Bible. I can look it up, but I didn't look it up today. You'll find this is why you go into millennium for further sanctification. Now, people, yeah, I understand some of the boys on the network, they find people who just don't know Brother Branham said it. They haven't got a clue. But you see, when you talk about sanctifier, what you're talking about is separation unto God. And if the millennium doesn't further separate unto God, then I'll eat it. And if the New Jerusalem doesn't further separate you, I'll eat that. Now let's go further on sanctification. You tell me exactly why the leaves of the tree of life are for the healing of the nations. Can they get sick? What did Brother Branham say those leaves were? To do what? Keep peace. Well, tell me about it. The only answer I got is further sanctification. And further sanctification is further revelation. And since the seals opened and were revelatory, time and eternity mingling, the sanctifying power of God is literally, you might say, in orbit right now with the speed that we cannot possibly fathom, because time and eternity have blended. And we're moving very, very rapidly toward the goal where we want to be in the New Jerusalem. But that's still eternal. So there's no stopping. No stopping. And it would take eternal life to grasp eternal verities, which are eternal. That's why Brother Branham said one day science is going to find out they aren't seeing worlds flung farther and farther out. They're just going in a circle. Already some scientists have agreed that that's true. But now, you know, science is getting very wonderful now, the Hubble telescope. And what happens in the next few days if all those little particles up there, those sandstorms, suddenly knock all our satellites and everything out? Pardon my derision. You got to get used to me. But you see, I don't give a rip. I am so anti-scientist, because it's a pseudoscientist. If they think they can figure out who was it? Was it Edison that said, science will have accomplished something when they figured out a blade of grass? So, now, what we're looking at here is for the specific purpose that I mentioned, we want to get a relationship between man and God. And we must never forget what we're looking at. This one here is absolute. And it's unshared except through here, coming down through here. The sharing of it. So you may say the dispersion of God, God multiplying himself like a father would, bringing forth children in order to have fellowship, as Brother Branham spoke of, where he now can have this. And all of this in here, see, there's 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. But here's 8 down here, see. So all of these here, which sanctifier, all of this up here is actually a sanctification. Why? Because you're cut off, so he's your provider. You're cut off, so he's the healer. You're cut off, so he's the shepherd. You're cut off, so he's the banner. That's your protection. And he's your peace. He's your righteousness. And he's ever-present doing it. The ever-present God, ever-present God provider, ever-present God healer, ever-present shepherd, right on down the line. In other words, we have a connection with God which is perfectly infallible, and down here showing we've got a limitless progression where God has not only started way back here, what he is, all up in here, what he is, and it's all to man. We haven't even got to man yet, have we? Okay. We'll begin to get this down to man as we saw the Son here. Now, and the Father. Now we're going to put it over here where we find, and I got to go to Genesis, the first chapter, and we're going to go to, what's the verses I want? 26? Yeah. Verse 26. So God's through with all nature. Now you notice that when God's through with all nature, he now starts on man. Like, for instance, Brother Branham said before God made a fish with a fin to swim, he made the waters for the fish with the fin to swim so the fish could swim in the waters. And then he gave us a tremendous message, one of the last ones up there in California, when he spoke on the parents predestinating their children and wanting everything for them, getting everything ready, everything marvelous, and then they have their children, and they take care of them, and they have the best of everything. And that's what God did in the Garden of Eden. So now, everything here is ready, and here it is that Darwin found out to be the truth, that man, actually mammalian, is in the series of evolution, as Brother Branham taught it, which was that he made the animals, and he made the birds, he made the insects, he made this, the serpents, everything else, and then he made man. The order of evolution. And there's an order of, it's not so much a matter of evolution, it's a matter of status, is what it is. And you got the same thing in the stars, and in the sun, the moon, it's status. And when you come forth in the resurrection, it's going to be status. Everything in place, everything in divine order. That's why everything is predestinated, and you find the 24 elders have their place. Brother Branham explained who they were. And right down the line, we see God's great plan being worked out. So I want to read this to you. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now you notice that word dominion is a good word, and we like it very much on the grounds that it's a word that God gave us, and that means to have a power over, the right of domain. In other words, this is your domain, you're secure in it, it's yours, you do what you want with it, in the sense of the responsible guidelines that have been laid down, because we taught you this is stewardship. But we have this dominion here. Now, you notice that this dominion comes from this over here, because that would be power. Now, power without wisdom is the devil. It's horrible, because power, that's what you have, and why we have the problem that rose with women throwing off male power, because male power was not God power. It was sexism, brutism, and rotten. Now, let's face it. Most males are crud, and we ought to know better. I didn't get any amens, and I care less, because that's the truth. I'm just laying right in the line. This thing we've had with male superiority and male dominance is a fallacy 100%, because it's not based upon the Word of God. Husband, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. See, so the male superiority is a myth. And a female God is a myth. It just, Denigrated hogwash is even worse than it started out. So power, we're not too interested in. But we are interested in power with omniscience. And now we come over here, and we have these things that God wants to have. And notice at the same time, love. Now, if we just had these two in here, that's very good. That makes you tremendously scientific. It makes you tremendously earthy. It makes you tremendously mechanical. You got, lots of things going for you. Because I can think of it. I can do it. I can think of it. I can do it. But notice, love is so superior. Love is what brings it into reality and the highest order of power and knowledge. Ability and knowledge. And as Solomon said, in your getting, get knowledge. If you really want something, get knowledge. Like I said many times, if you know how to make $1 million and I know how to get it away from you, you won't have your million very much longer. If you know how to build a great big armament and come against my nation, but I know how to build a bigger one, I'll knock you right off the globe. Knowledge is tremendous. Ability is tremendous. But in themselves, it is not good. You've got to have the three of them. So we have love here, which is the ameliorating force, which is the guiding spirit. That's why God is love. And that guiding spirit behind it. Now, he says here, I'm going to give them dominion. Now, the reason he said that is because he said, let us make man in our image. Now, that's the thing we're looking at. The dominion is going to come because God gives him this, and God is in here at the same time, looking down, looking here, with a relationship. Now, this relationship doesn't become because of these things that man is doing in his history. God always was this. Now, watch. As Irenaeus said, and Brother Branham took up on it. He started with saying that deep calleth to deep. The little boy needed sulfur. Now, there's no way the little boy would have chewed that rubber on the bicycle pedal, except there was sulfur out there. His body could not crave what was not available. I used to say, there aren't any questions, they're all answers. And there's no questions without an answer, because if there's no answer, there's no question. Then I ran across Irenaeus, who said, God being a Savior, it was necessary for God to predestinate a sinner, a man of sinner, in order to give himself a reason and purpose of being. Now take it all the way down here. God being a provider, it was necessary to predestinate a man who needed provision. God being a healer, he had to make a man who needed healing. God being a shepherd, he had to make a man who needed leading. God being a banner, that's the banner over, the power of security, he had to make a man like it. He had to put this man into trials. He had to bring this fellow down here. He said, look, I'm away from God. I'm shot. I'm finished. I got to have help. I just haven't got it myself. I've done desperate to the things of God. Now, if he came from God, the only way to get back to God is going to have God stand for him with God's own righteousness because he's a part of God. Hey, come on, it's just as natural as growing beans and tomatoes. What's in there has got to come from a source that it came from in the first place. Or it won't match. You don't want a bunch of hybrid junk. Then ever present showing you that this man, he's just by himself, he's just out. So all of these things in here are for what's coming on down here. Now he said, let's make man in our image. Now, the word image we can use here, and We can start with one here is a resemblance. And that's pretty good. Because there is a resemblance there. But it's also a representative figure. The representative figure. And also, there's a little funny connotation in here. And the funny connotation is that this comes from a root word meaning to shade. As a phantom. See? Or illusion. Oh, so, what I'm getting out of this is, let us make man according to us, but a negative. See? You follow what I'm saying? It's a negative. The man has to be made, so he needs this. Now, we know this is positive. So therefore, man now has to move over here from the negative to the positive. So what I'm looking at then, in seeing the picture, and trying to get this very, very clear so we understand the moving of God down through him from himself into the family of God. He, first of all, brought forth the Son and said, let us make man in our image. Of course, the word in the Hebrew there, our, is not actually a word. It's a part of another word. Just like you find sometimes a pronoun his and we and things like that, you don't actually find them. But God is now talking, the Father to the Son, and let us make man in our image. And when he says this, he's going to bring man, because when he made man, he breathed into Adam the breath of life. Now, here is Adam now. He starts out as a spirit man, which Brother Branham said, and in here also is contained Eve, and the spirit of the male and female was created, and now God puts Adam into a physical body. He got the flesh down here, and the flesh, of course, is molded out of the ground. So, all right, you've got a creation, a spirit form, and God's going to make this man and in his image. In other words, it's going to be like a phantom form, almost like an illusion. And when you compare a man to God, it's like an illusion. It's like a phantom form. A representative figure. And that's where he is. And he's representative, of course, because he's to rule the earth and have power over the birds and everything else as a steward. God himself is the owner of it. So now this man here is going to have to fulfill as this image. He would be in the negative to be recipient of all the positive which is of the Lord. Now, getting back here then, the spirit man is put into a body of flesh. And at that time, God breathes into his nostrils the breath of life, the breath of lives actually, and the man becomes a living soul. Now here, without a doubt in my mind, is where Brother Branham said, an infant born, and it doesn't cry, the breath not having gone in the lungs, that baby is twitching muscles and nerves, and is not actually a living child. And this is where the Baptist theologian got entirely wrong when he advised Mr. Clinton the very same thing, not knowing the background. But you see, the thing is this, that this Baptist doesn't realize, he doesn't really realize that there is, and he does, he'll preach it and tell you he does, that, all right, here is man, and this man here we'll call Adam, and this is the, and here you see the whole man. Here's the body, this part is the body, and in here is a spirit, and in here is a soul. going down in, because he's body, spirit, and soul. In that particular order, the Bible calls it body, soul, and spirit, but evidently, whoever copied Paul down didn't get him right, because this Brother Branham showed us that it is the body on the outside, the spirit, and then the soul. Now, here's the figure here then, lying there. Brother Branham said, maybe like a tree rooted in the ground, and God breathed in the nostril the breath of lives, and he became a living soul. See? Now watch. He became a living soul. The breath of lives making a living soul. In other words, now, this man is 100% sensate, which he was not before. He's sensate in the sense that he can pick up a hole. He can pick up a little stone if he wanted to, whatever he's going to do to prune the trees. Remember, the Bible said there was no man to till the garden. He's supposed to prune the garden and till the garden and make it. And he couldn't do it because he was a spirit form. That doesn't handle tools. So he's given a body. And when God breathed in the breath of lives, that, Brother Branham said, was not just an ordinary breath. That was the spirit of the living God. Now, in our particular case, and I want to emphasize the word soul. The soul in here is what is uncreated and is actually a part of God and in itself is eternal. And that is known as seed. That seed in there. And the seed of God cannot sin. There is no way that a part of God can ever sin or ever sin against God, because that seed will believe. Now, he can have problems, and he's going to have problems, because Jehovah God is going to be to this man a provider. Well, he was a provider, putting him in the garden here with all of these good things here, but also he's a healer. Well, now this man's got to cut himself, or this man's got to fall sick. There's got to be something take place. Otherwise, how is God going to be a healer of that man? So every single thing of the positive within here, man is a receptacle as a negative, that all of this can flow toward him. So that God becomes everything 100% to this person. Now, getting back to the soul again, which is here, and that is a part of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit, Brother Branham called the Holy Spirit, breathing these nostrils. Now, I say, here is where Clinton and the theologians are wrong. They simply take this to be air. It is not simply air, although the word does mean to puff. See, to puff. Now, God doesn't puff air. When you talk about the Holy Spirit breathing, and we'll go to John, let's go to John 3:16 over here and find what it says, and we get a better picture, because this is completely a mistranslation. Although we can use it, hey, and get by with it, it is actually a mistranslation. We don't want 3:16. We want up here. In verse 4, they said, Jesus said, verily I said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, he'll be right there and he can't see it. Right in front of him. You won't be able to see it. Nicodemus said, how can he be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus then said, surely, truly I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The Spirit breatheth where he willeth. It's not the wind blowing where it wants to blow. The wind is not a controlling factor. Wind is controlled. You're looking at a controlling factor here. You understand what I'm saying? Hey, the sun and the rotation of the earth and the topography causes winds to obey. And the devil controls hurricanes, cyclones, everything else. The wind is not a controlling factor. The only controlling factor in the universe is the Spirit of God, period. The Spirit breatheth where he wants to breathe. Predestination, election, foreknowledge. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. So he's talking of the Spirit. There's a bit of an analogy here. Call it if you want that. But the fact of the matter is, this, he's talking about the Spirit, because that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit. So don't marvel when I say you must be born again, for the Spirit breathes where he wants. And you can't. And you can't get anything from the Spirit of God except a voice. And that's the voice of the prophet. And when it comes to the human being, there is no way that we can have any rebirth except the Spirit of God coming upon us. So this theologian is a Baptist, is entirely wrong when he was looking at this and saying, okay, Adam breathed, and there is no life there until the child drops from the womb. And so therefore, until the child drops from the womb, you can have a trimester. You can kill the baby in the 8.5 months. It is not murder, because the child is not an entity. See, that's murder. It's absolute murder, because the child is a soul. Now, those people who thought that Brother Branham was actually preaching birth control and abortion, because he used that phraseology, the child is nothing but a mass of jerking muscles and nerves and has to drop from the womb when a spirit takes over. They never understood about a spirit taking over. And neither have people discovered that Brother Branham, in talking to a Mormon, when the Mormon said, and literally wept, he said, my baby that should have been born was dead before he was born. He said, you will see your baby in heaven. Because the soul comes down imparted through the loins of the male. And that's 100% scriptural. Every place you look in scripture, it has been given through the life through these two, because they are one. And remember, when the question came up and they said, Brother Branham, what's the difference between God and Jesus? He said, there is no difference except sons have beginnings. And that's exactly true, because this son that came forth was nothing but what was hidden in here. And came forth and veiled his light. And he said, Brother Branham said, if you could have had eyes, you'd have seen this one. And this one swung into action through the power of God, because he was a part of God. And through him came creation. Even as it said, all things were created by him. At the same time, it said, God created all things. And God did create all things, and everything was started by him, the family and everything else down here. So now placed in Adam and Eve is the ability to bring forth these children of Almighty God. And they do come forth. But I wanted to show you here very particularly when he said that we'll make them in my image. And if Adam, now remember, you have to understand this. If God was predisposed to place himself in a tree, God would be in that tree. I don't care what tree it was. If God was predisposed that he might have a great pyramid and say, all right, I'm going to be in that pyramid. And when God was predisposed to have an ark carried by two rods upon the shoulders of priests, and here's the ark here, God predisposed was in there. So God being predisposed that he would have his children in the form of flesh, no matter what happened, no matter what the flesh was, a common lump of animal and human, he would still be there. Follow me? He'd still be there. And that's exactly what you have today. That God, the Spirit of God, the souls that came from God, a seed germ from God, a word from God, call it what you want, a part of God, we have come down. When God put that life in Adam and came down here, and even when the beast got in and messed every single thing up, it didn't make any difference. The plan of God goes on. And at that particular time, because sin entered, and notice how that man, now watch carefully, if this man is a representative figure, he's a resemblance, but he's also like a shade, a phantom, an illusion, then he's the negative of the positive. Watch instantly. When he then, because of his particular negative aspect toward the positive, the minute the fall came, Every one of these went into order. The provider came forth, and what did he do? He killed a lamb. Now, where are these people like Lyndon Paul, McCartney, yeah, the Beetlebugs? She's a great animal activist. Well, she's dead. And you know where she's going to go, too, with the rest of them. I know nothing against her, just telling you the truth. Let's be honest. You don't preach a person into heaven and preach them out of hell. Forget it. She makes God some kind of a fool. Who cares about her nonsense? Bob Barker's the same tripe. You got anything about me eating a steak? Or shooting a dog on my property? Shut up, mind your business. You're sick, I'm not. You don't believe the Bible. What is Seventh-day Adventist? They're junk. Hey, Jesus ate a fish sandwich, the resurrection. My eyes are sparkling. Okay. So now, we have here the life coming on down. There's something else I want to show you here. I'll get it later. I'll remember later. All right. Here now, God is the healer because these people need help. God becomes their shepherd in a greater way than ever because at this particular time, he was all of these things. How do I want to put that? Latent. Right? Latent. Now, he becomes very active. And all of these great values that lie within him now begin to come into manifestation. And in short order, you will find that God reveals himself in a covenant to his children, to Adam and Eve, every single one. All right? Every single one is covenant. Now, here, let's look at this. Before we could write this down, and before we could do anything about this, through the authorship of these two, we had to have a covenant. Between the Father and Son. You know why? Because they are jointly in progress with this. God didn't say, hey, Son, look at me, I'm going to do this. The Son didn't say, well, Father, you gave me a lot of power, here's what I'm going to do. Because wisdom and strength did not lie in the Son. It lay in God. Now, Jesus becomes the first vicar of God. Yep. He stands there. All the power of God comes through him. All the fullness of God had bodily are going to come through him. We have a covenant here. Let us make man in our image. Let us now bring forth this negative. I use that. You know, I have to use it to get the picture. Brother Branham said, he said, look, I have a shadow of my hand here. Now, he said, as I go further toward the in the light toward the wall, if the elephant, it was an elephant, he said, turned into a little spindly man, when it got to the wall, he said, then something radically wrong. So, if I'm going to be the negative, Brother Branham said, and I'm the negative of this down here, to come to the fullness of everything this can provide, with the complete dominion that the millennium tells me, I've got to be then the negative to the positive so that the positive now will take over. So all of this here must have been in covenant with this one because you will find that very particularly Some of these titles, if not all, every single one, and I can mention a couple to show you, is number one, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. So, if we have this quality, now remember, this is Yahweh or Jehovah. And one of these days I'm going to go to my concordance and bring you back likely hundreds of references of what this is all about so you can begin to place exactly Father and Son. Because there is a place that can be placed. But remember this one thing, there is the covenant. The Father does nothing without the Son does nothing without the Father. You have a covenant. So all of this here, no. So he said, I'm the shepherd. And he said, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Paul calls him our righteousness. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. By his stripes you're healed. My God shall supply riches and glory by Jesus Christ. Every single one, all of this that was in him and was to be made manifest, all came through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that through him, as our mediator, we have access to every single thing that is in God. If we lay ourselves open to revelation, there is no place that we can be a failure or at fault. Because we are completely covered by Almighty God. See, what's the condition to be met? The condition's all in order of faith. To actually believe. And as we believe, remember, as we truly believe, we will live. Because the just shall live by faith. It tells you right there, what is your faith? What is mine? Our faith is the faith of the Son of God. I ask you, where did he get his faith? He got it from the faithful God. So right on down the line, right on down the line we come to where we are here, and now we are at the end age, and we see not just God coming down through mankind, but we find now that God, because they left the Garden of Eden, God instituted the law, and in that law, he began laying out his word. And as he did so, you know that God spoke to people, and those people were prophets. And, of course, the word pro for, and to say or to speak. And Paul went further than that. That's just not speaking for. That's like a vicar. I'm here as a legate. That's not it at all. There's more than that, because God was in the prophets. And Brother Branham, I think, identified that to a great extent by, he said, there was a measure of the Spirit and a measure of the Word in all the prophets, but Christ was the complete fulfillment, which we know that to be true. Now, so that's pretty well what I wanted to bring here at this particular time, showing you that this was very vital and necessary that God make this man and this woman the way they were, in order that God could exercise all his attributes and he could indeed be God to the people. Now when you figure these particularly seven, and this is a continuation, just on and on and on, what more would a person want than an ever-present God, our righteousness, our peace, our banner, which is love and which also is protection, our shepherd leading us, our healer, and the healer, of course, is not just the healing of physical bodies. The actual fact of the matter is that if you talk to doctors, except for getting your head injured or your foot injured or you're getting somebody cutting you or a bullet going through you, over 90%, if not literally 100% of all of our diseases are psychosomatic. They actually start within the psyche and the mind, and they're in the body, and then they begin to produce themselves. And if you went to this fellow in Boston who came out of Russia who uses energy, you would find that the energy transmission by this man is so phenomenal that he brought him over to Harvard, and he used hundreds and hundreds of cases. Literally thousands of people came to him, the doctor shut him down. And so all he can do is deal today with trauma and with diet and with smoking, because the doctors can't do a thing about that. They're too stupid. But they're smart enough to know that nobody else should do it or the money's gone. That's the truth. I'm just telling you the fact. So this guy operates up there now in Boston. And you can even, and he will even suggest to you, let you ask questions and all, that if you can approach him and say, well, the trouble with me is, you know, I've had trauma, and this could be true. Most back problems are caused by trauma and by nervous conditions. And you get the person relaxed, you get the person in a better shape, the mind begins to relax and all, and that's the big thing, is that human mind here, because that's reasoning takes place, and you know, you think you see with your eyes, you don't see with your eyes, you see with your mind. That's right, so an optic nerve goes up there, and you hear with your, you don't hear with your ear, they just like the elephant's ear is a big thing, you'll get the noises in, you got a nerve, you know, an auditory nerve that goes to your brain. So you see the thing, and you don't smell either, your smeller either. You got a nerve that takes up the brain. Otherwise, how could a human being differentiate as much as 14,000 smells? 4,000 colors. Oh, come on. Yeah. You follow me? So, okay, psychosomatic is the big thing. See? Well, then, you get God as your peace. God leading you. You could have a bride hear of it. Yea, thou walk through the valley of shadow, thy fear no evil, for thou with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they cover me. I'm in the presence of mine enemies. A table is set before me. My cup runneth over. Goodness and mercy follow me. Hey, I'm having wonderful time. Because the Lord's my shepherd. Well, that man's got healing. Now, so this fella here, you can tell him, you know, and say, well, look, you know, I got this problem. It's really psychosomatic. You know, I really cannot bend. He goes, done. And, hey, you can bend, you're fine. I can't hear. Done. And the man who's deaf, he hears. Just transmission of energy. Now this is what's going on today. This is proven. I saw this in a film. I also saw another film where there's a man that's a Chinese fellow, I think he is, or Tibetan or something. A boy was crippled. They gave him up. And he just put his hands over him like this, back and forth, back and forth. And so they tested it. They put a thermometer and stuff under it and a piece of tin foil, and the man went like this, and the tin foil got hot. It registered on the thermometer. Now, what about the mind that's controlled by God? You got all this stuff in the world out here. You got devil power and this. And remember, only God can heal. Whatever that man's doing, God's behind it. Like Brother Branham said, how can they go to the witch doctor and heal? Because they believe it's God. They're believers. There's something going on. But you see, God has instituted all of this within himself. And all of this in here is under covenant. And you'll notice that the covenant that was formed before, no doubt before there was any speck of stardust or anything formed by Jesus. Created God creating all things by him. That this covenant went into effect so that when it came time to produce this was not a spur of the moment thing. Knowing that they would fall, knowing that this one would take upon flesh and identify himself with them and die in order to fulfill the covenant that must be fulfilled. And the covenant is fulfilled by blood, without the shedding of blood nor remission of sin. And remember, it's a covenant of the blood of the everlasting covenant. So this was already confirmed in Christ, and already now down here is being fulfilled. Now, with that in mind, how is it possible for God to ever lose one son, to ever lose one iota of his program? To ever have anything actually out of cater. Here's nothing. You're looking at a sovereign God who works all things according to his own desire and what his own ends are. So here is where we are. Here's where we are. In my understanding, I'm looking at this. In my understanding, seeing how we've come all the way from here, all down through the centuries, 6,000 years, and will eventually come all the way back to where all of what God wanted to manifest all through here. And now in the holy city, the New Jerusalem, going on and going on with Almighty God. Now, I could have taken perhaps something like Brother Branham's going to preach on the trail of the serpent. I haven't done it. I've talked tonight on the trail of our God and of Christ coming down. And I'll tell you, every place that trail of God is, there's a trail of sin, there's a trail of Satan, there's a trail of blood. There's a trail of darkness, there's a trail of light. And there's had to be light before there was darkness. There had to be beauty before there was chaos. There had to be health before there was sickness. And that being in the original, we have to go back to it. That's why the millennium is such a tremendous place where we will be with our children. Not perhaps after our own flesh, but children that came in each generation. And each generation will find ourselves there with everything that God wanted and everything God wanted to work out for us and is being worked out. Now, how much time we got?
28 minutes.
Well, we're not going to take all that time. What we're going to do is look at the fact that Adam and Eve here were betrayed by Satan. Satan came in the form of the animal that could mingle his seed with the seed of man. Now, that's what actually happened. And Cain comes forth. Now, at this particular time, Cain and Abel are worshiping God. It tells you right here that they came in before the Lord with their sacrifices. And he said, in process of time came to pass, Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord. And Abel, he brought offering also, which was the first thing of the flock. And God had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now, remember when Cain was born, he said, I've gotten me a man from the Lord. And Brother Branham said that any woman could say that, and the most ornery prostitute type of woman could say that, because this is something that God instituted. And I agree with that 100%. And Brother Branham also said that Cain offered the offering of the first fruit because it was a denial that he was the son of the serpent. Now, Brother Branham did not say this, not for 1 minute. But I'm going to say it, and I'm just pondering a thought here, because it's only my own thinking. And my own thinking is this. If he repudiated that he was the son of the serpent when he was actually a giant, and the serpent was a giant, the boa constrictor is the biggest one there is, and he's the one that remnants the hips. And he's the one that copulates in the overall position, the above position, like animals and all do. Not like other reptiles. And you can see absolutely a scientific premise there, where there was a cutting in of animal to the human life, and God cursed that life, and now upon his belly it goes. And as Brother Branham said, he's with us today. The serpent is still here, the snake. He wasn't that way before. He was like a human being, very beautiful and all. So then, if this boy Cain says, no way am I serpent seed, and Eve said, I've gotten me a man from the Lord. Do you think it's just kind of possible she was saying this boy's virgin born? Where else did she get him? She got him from God. He had to be virgin born. Or it's just a matter of, well, you know, everything comes from God in a roundabout way. I'm not saying this is what it is, but I just want you to stop and think a minute. Is this where the first virgin birth scam came from? Because they've had a lot of them. They've had some millions of virgin birth scams until Israel, knowing what the heathen claimed, virgin born, virgin born. Oh, always with the gods came down and got me pregnant, like fun with some monk or some idiot. So is this the first? Is this? I have an idea that we're dealing with something which is which got its roots way back there in the garden. Because you see, Eve had already been told, your seed is going to bruise this one's head. And Brother Branham told us that she should have had Christ. That was a virgin birth. So I'm just saying, Is it possible this went back there? And the reason I'm saying it is because Brother Branham said he denied by giving a first fruit offering. And remember, he worshiped. Now, let's just, and I'm going to close with this because I wanted to bring you down to this point, having mentioned before, that Cain was rejected and thereby dejected. The Lord said to Cain, "Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest not well, shall thou not be accepted." The act is, the Septuagint said, "You have rightly offered, but you have not rightly divided, therefore hast thou not sinned." And that's actually according to the New Testament teaching of Paul, so therefore that's what this verse should read. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. Now I want to ask you a question. What do you think they talked about? Well, Cain says, "Yo, I got a lovely patch of beans here. Do you think you could grow better beans than me?" Oh, come on. They talk religion. They got into an actual serious debate. And Abel said, "Look, this is what God wants. And it's proven. He answered back to me. The pillar of fire came and devoured it." We know that had to be because that's what happened to Abraham. God doesn't change. Amen. What he does now, he's already done. When did he do it? See? And I wouldn't be surprised when God killed the lamb, that when he took the skin, the carcass went up in blue smoke or red smoke, whatever. Went to ashes. I'm not saying he did, but I wouldn't be surprised. Why would he leave it on the ground? The carcass was to be eaten or destroyed, burnt, right? Burnt with fire. So, all right. So, okay, the fire, no doubt, the fire in my understanding or my mind, I would say, with according to Scripture, it was devoured by the fire, like it was in the time of Moses, right on through and down through. Now, it came to pass then, and no doubt the contention got so hot, that Cain rose up against Abel and killed him. And the Lord said, "Where is Abel, thy brother's?" I don't know. What am I supposed to be? Some kind of a keeper? He's big enough to take care of himself. He's out there in the field, no doubt, messing around. Now, this is a person talking to God. Yet, he is worshiping God. He knows there's a God. He goes to church. Now, let me just tell you about a serpent seed. If he isn't, I hope he's not, but let's take a look at it. When I was down in Florida and had Brother Branham come to our meeting, I went to the press and I got full coverage. I didn't know it was against the law, their law, that I shouldn't get coverage, and they didn't know either. So the next time Paul Cain comes. Now Paul, of course, is not genuine seed. We know that poor guy. I feel sorry for him, but we know he's false anointed. The rest of them, there's something we've got to look at. And I go to get an ad. I won't give it to you. Don't believe in healing. So I gently say something about that if God is really healing people, it would be bad if someone didn't have, you know, notification that they could come. And he took it that I was unchristianizing him. Now, this is only the second time in my life I've been really verbally abused and got tickled. He turned on me and GD'd me up one side, down the other with all the rotten language. And are you calling me? I'm not a Christian, you blankety blank blank. He went up and down. I got so tickled inside, I almost started laughing because that wasn't the subject at all. So I got very nice and very meek. He died of cancer. I'm not saying from that. Because cancer is nothing to what faces that man. But he worshiped God. Now, with that in mind, what about this hour? Rich, increased in goods, spit in the face of him that came down from heaven, speaking now from heaven upon earth in a prophet, and they say, "Ha! Hallelujah, Jesus! Glory to God! Speak in tongues and love him and everything else. And even die." can give themselves to be burned, and a Christian who goes out as a fiery martyr in the name of Jesus Christ, worshiping God, will end up no different from the Taoist or the Confucianist or the Muslim who comes against communism or anything other oppression and immolates himself with a gallon or two of gasoline, lights himself on fire. Though I give my body to burn and have not the Holy Ghost, I am lost. And we're talking about worship. For that is said in the same breath, though I speak in the tongues of men and angels and have not the Holy Ghost. And I don't have Him. Now, would you believe what does it say? It says, and have not love. And Brother Branham called that the Holy Ghost. Okay. People might say, and they all do, I have the Holy Ghost, and this man has the Holy Ghost, but he didn't show much love. The trouble was, the man is not showing love. He has gifts, he can heal the sick, he can raise the dead and all, but you see, it's not going to profit him, because in the resurrection, he'll get no gifts, no nothing, he will not be commended, he will be actually rebuked, because he used these gifts to love. Just a minute. I understand the motivation is what it is, not love. Now let's go a little further. Watch. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of dunamis and of love and a sound mind. So the Holy Ghost is what? He's dunamis, power. He's love. And he's that omniscient mind. Right? Then you tell me you're baptized with the Holy Ghost and don't have love to operate the gifts, you're a liar. Because if you're baptized with the Holy Ghost, you have power, you have love, you have the sound mind. You'll be right with the Word of God. So my Bible tells me that you can have all of these gifts and no Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, of course, I don't believe anybody but you people to believe me. Because see, I take everything Brother Branham says right back to the Bible, wherever I can find it, any time I can find it, bring it right to you. And show you the prophet is 100% with Paul, the apostle. That's why he could say, just think how wonderful, the same pillar of fire that brought the word to Apostle Paul is here revealing it. And that's what it is tonight. And so we bring you right down all the way through, where God in full manifestation, gifts, every single thing, these people down here, who worship God can claim every one of those things. Doesn't mean they got it. And they can see an outworking. Doesn't mean they got it. Because there's only one evidence of you being full of the Holy Ghost, and that's you believing the Word of God for this hour. And for any hour whereby God speaks to mankind. And that'll bring me, because I'm finished now, that'll bring me to the next question here. What does it mean when the Bible says, he receiveth whomsoever I send receives me. Now we can take that next time, perhaps tomorrow morning. But I trust you, you're beginning to see, I hope you're beginning to see where I'm coming from. I did this on purpose tonight to show you the best I can why, how Brother Branham agreed with Irenaeus that God being a Savior, he had to predestinate a man who would need salvation. How in the world could it be to receive what is here in salvation, in healing, and in peace, and in righteousness, all of these things, if there wasn't something down here, you know, that required a response from this? You understand? Well, it couldn't be anything but a person that had gone astray, a sheep gone astray. A seed of God. Right? That's exactly right. If your body, my brother, needs sulfur, there's sulfur for it. If your body needs hydrochloric acid, it's there for it. But if your body does not need titanium, it's there. Is it? Well, your body doesn't need somebody else, something else does. In other words, the deep calls to the deep. This deep calling is screaming. There's an eagle there, out in the chicken pen. See? There's a shadow, like a phantom. There's a negative, screaming for the positive. See? The sheep that went astray has everything it needs in the great shepherd. The person that doesn't have peace of mind and soul has it there. But the great test is, do you believe the word of the living God? Because that's what it's all about. Because there isn't any revelation. There isn't anything. Even with manifestation. Listen, with manifestation, I don't care what anybody says. Manifestation does not stand by itself. Manifestation needs an explanation. Why is it manifesting? So you can be a Pentecostal, jump up and down and scream, hallelujah, I got it. A little gleam in the Bible. Check and let's see if it's in the Word according to the structure of the Word. Right down on it. Let's see where all these people, these things come from. Take it right back to the Word. Well, the Lord bless you. Let's bow our heads in prayer because we have a little service now of the communion service. We pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that, and hopefully, Lord, tonight, we see ourselves a little more clearly. We see ourselves as that part of you that you put in humanity, then humanity going astray, the eagle screaming, the soul desiring. And the soul's desire, our hearts panting after you, our soul's panting after you, as the heart pants after the water brook. That negative in us, Lord, coming right to the positive, which is you. And that we believe that, Lord, that you put your spirit in us to want everything that was in you. And we do tonight, Lord. We do, O God. We do, Lord. We understand this and we want it with all of our hearts. And help us now because we don't need further help, Lord, in the sense of what you've given us and what you are to us. We just need, Lord, a little wake-up call as never before to realize we've heard the eagle scream, this is it. And now, with fullness of heart, make it the paramount issues of our life as never before. And we give you glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to read tonight from 1 Corinthians. And we're just going to talk about it a second, and then so the brethren come forward and serve you. And this way we get home. I'll help you longer than I wanted to. That goes without saying. Well, I said it anyway. Now, Paul says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you." He said, "This is something I gave you, absolutely I got it from God." Now, the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he given thanks, he broke it and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And after the same manner he took the cup when he supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." Now, Paul did not use every single word that Jesus used, because Jesus used the word and he said, "I'm not going to drink this cup again till I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." And of course, that could be at the great wedding supper. It could be the millennium. I don't know. But I know we are going to do that. That's absolutely true. Just the same as I know that in eternity there is the Lamb, and there'll be the nail prints. They'll never be obliterated in the hands, the head, and in the side, the feet. The Lamb is the Lamb, and he's crucified before the foundation of the world, and that is the manifestation. But what I want to bring tonight, coupling what Paul said here, and what Jesus said in one of the Gospels, perhaps John, I can't remember which one it is, he said, "I won't drink this again until I drink it anew with you." So what I want you to recognize tonight is, and that is this, that the death of Jesus Christ is synonymous with resurrection. Now, you'll understand what I say when I tell you what Brother Branham said. He said something has to die so that something else can live. So therefore, death and resurrection are synonymous. Because you see, we don't die, it's just our bodies that go down. We don't die. We cross over. to where we're supposed to be. And if we're bride, or even, I believe, foolish virgin, you'll go to that body, which Brother Branham called a spirit body, word body, which I believe is a better term than theophany, although it's true in the sense of the word. It's something that covers that soul of yours, which was part of God, that would be a covering. So it would be a theophany, God showing forth. But I like the word spirit, and I like the word body better. So, as Paul said, we don't leave here to be disembodied spirits. We go where we have a covering like we have now, because we are predestinated to that. That's what God wanted. So my thought tonight, as I've already said, is this, that when we talk of the death of Jesus Christ, the broken body and shedding the blood, you are actually talking about a covenant of resurrection. So it's all about the resurrection, because what was done there is going to be done again, together in the flesh. And you've got to have a resurrection to do that same thing there, what you're doing now. So every time you take the Lord's Supper, you're saying, I'm going to be in the first resurrection. I'm going to be with the Lord. This is my understanding that this is my life. Because, you see, when you realize that your baptism with the Holy Ghost is on your body, sure, it falls and links your soul back. But that is the token or the guarantee of a resurrection. That's why once you leave, Ephesians 1, chapter 1, 1 to 15, you immediately come to the place where everybody's sealed in. The next thing is God coming down to put the church in order, bring about a resurrection and a rapture to the wedding supper. So the baptism with the Holy Ghost, and it verily clearly says, what, know ye not, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Will I then join the temple of God to a harlot? Will I be found in adultery and fornication? No more than I will be found in organization, in creeds and dogmas. I'm living in idolatry. No more. It's finished. So tonight, as we take the Lord's Supper, bear in mind this. This is resurrection notice. I'm giving notice to mortality. I'm giving notice to death. That you don't have me in control. There's no way. These emblems I'm taking are my guarantee, and I'm entering the covenant of immortality. You can't enter the covenant of life, because God, the part of God in you cannot die. God cannot be born. God cannot die. God cannot do anything. He's eternal. You can't do one thing about it, no matter what position he places himself in, what he goes through, as whatever roles, that's God's business. He does it. But remember, God is inviolate. He does not change. He, no way, shape, and form, whatever he does, whatever he says, whatever he is, no way. Neither can that intrinsic part of us. So we're speaking in terms, I am a part of the resurrection. That is why I do this. If you're not a part of the resurrection, why are you doing it? He said, you do it, you'll do it this with me in the kingdom. In the resurrection. So if you're not doing it, if you're doing it, why are you doing it? You understand what I'm saying? No. This is what's behind it. You saw, there's hundreds of facets to every part of the Word of God. Not just one or two facets of Scripture. Brother Branham categorically says in many facets. I can take the communion. I've been doing it for years now. And every single time there's something different comes out. But it's the same thing coming out all the time. Always. So there we are tonight. I'm drinking to my own resurrection. There I will meet with the Lord. It's my guarantee. It's the blood of the everlasting covenant. And remember, everlasting is not the same as eternal. In other words, your bodies are only eternal by virtue of one thing. The life in you is eternal, and it's just keeping that thing moving. That's all. And you're sealing. Guarantee, I'm taking now these emblems, oh God, tonight, because I know it's my showing forth to the world. I've entered into the covenant, the very same covenant that Jesus had with the Father. And we're a part of it. We're not pawns on a great chessboard. No, we're sons and daughters. It's not God moving us as though there's a game being played. No, there's a life of God being manifested, demonstrated, entered into, and going on eternally. This is life. You believe it? I believe that's true. Let's rise at this time. And we're going to ask the brethren to come forward. And of course, you know how we partake. It's the same routine. All right, let's bow. As a Heavenly Father, as we partake at this time, we know that these are emblems. But my, what wonderful type, what wonderful emblems, signifying that we have entered in that covenant, that we will be in that resurrection. We will be a partaker at that day, because we are going to be with you and eat it and drink it anew in the kingdom of our God, sitting down with the holy angels, the cherubim, all the hosts of heaven, those gone before, the 24 elders. What a wonderful, wonderful time in that great day, Lord. And this is our witness unto it, that we believe that we will be there because of grace committed to us. And we thank you for it, because this is all grace. In Jesus Christ's name, we thank you. Amen.